Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
In this edition of Oklahoma Perspective, we are talking to Scott Udy, who is the vice. You're the vice. You're not the assistant or the associate.
The vice mayor.
You're the vice mayor of Broken Arrow. Thanks for coming back on with us.
You bet. I'm always glad to get to participate.
So, it's interesting. The Rose District is just going nuts. I was watching, obviously, the holidays are over now.
Right.
But I was watching through the holidays, and it was really nice to see so much going on down here in the evenings. The lights were up, the guys were over there, ice skating on the ice rink, and just there were people downtown in the evenings, and this happens all the time now, doesn't it?
It does. In fact, you mentioned the lights. I've had several emails and calls of people who say, "Can't we keep those up all year long?"
I noticed they're still up.
Well, we have extended the time probably from November to March, but there's reasons why we can't do it all year. But but people like that feel. They like a place where there's a vibrancy and the lights, something special. You have other parts of the Tulsa area like Cherry Street and Brookside and others that have a feel, and that's the Rose District has a feel. It's a very, very vibrant, very active place, and I think the lights and the things, it gives just something else that people get engaged with.
And you've got to, I was curious about this. I came in, there was music on the street too.
Yes.
Who takes care of that?
Well, the Parks Department and our event staff kind of share that, but the Parks Department, that we have a the sound system, when they redid it, the main street,
right,
and expand the streetscape, one of the things we wanted to do was equip it with sound so we could do PA announcements. And parades and things like Rooster Days Parade, Christmas Parade, you can actually announce the parade and people hear it along with the speakers, so they don't have to be at a booth. They can be anywhere along the street and hear who's coming up next in the parade. We did that. So we did the sound, we did plumbing and sewer so that we could handle food carts or other types of things that needed for food preparation for festivals. And it was all done with the concept that we would use our downtown and our main street as kind of a gathering place.
Now, I noticed that they're finally underway with the construction over here on the where the Methodist Church used to be.
Where the Assembly of God Church used to be. Yes, they are.
They finally broke ground on that, and it looks like that's going. What's the timetable on that?
You know, I think they're looking at late 19, early 20 before they would have a final structure, and of course it'll probably take a while to start leasing the units and things. As your listeners may recall, it's a multi-use facility, and what I mean is it's going to have real retail and or restaurants on the first floor, and then luxury apartments and living on the second, third, and fourth floors.
How many apartments in total?
Oh goodness. I don't remember the exact number, but it's a fair few.
It's a pretty big lot.
It is. It's going to take the full front half, and then there'll be parking and things, and that's one of the joys of downtown is with each new development, there's parking issues and things. So we're looking at new lots and new parking availability. It's something that the council and city staff are always looking at. Okay, we're going to expand over here. Do we have the parking? Do we have that? And there's some growing pains with it, but I think overall we've been able to manage it and continue to manage it fairly
now,
well.
Didn't downtown Broken Arrow win an award, a nationwide award here a couple of months
back? Yes. The National Conference of Mayors awarded us the Livability Award.
Mm-hmm.
And it was based on the downtown, what we've done downtown. What we're now looking at is how can we not duplicate it, but replicate the success in other parts of town, such as 100 and or what in Tulsa they call 101st and Elm. That we call it New Orleans, but the New Orleans right. and Elm area used to be one of the economic centers of our community, and it's been having challenges a few years. So we're looking at what we've done here. Without, we don't want to duplicate it because each part of town is special and unique, mm-hmm. but how do we replicate success?
Well,
so
it seems like I recall it's probably been 15 years or so ago. That intersection was one of the three busiest intersections in the town.
About 20 years ago, yeah. it was the yeah. economic center of Broken Arrow. And of course, as the Bass Pro Shop was built, and as the
Kmart closed
yeah,
there too,
exactly.
so there were a lot of larger guys that just left,
right?
And
right.
Hobby Lobby moved,
and so there was an Albertsons yeah. there that yeah. became a Homeland, that became that closed, and then Ross Pet Dress for Less, and so. Came in, but it's been under transition for a while.
And there's been that particular area over there. I know that there's strip center,
right?
And that it's got two stories. I mean, the first stories down
right.
The first floor seem to be for the most part stay fairly occupied, but that second story has never really gone on.
Right. You know, I think, and one of the things we're looking at is just retail's changing.
Yep.
The people don't want, I mean, we still have the need for the big box store, the Kmart, the Target, or well,
right.
Kmart not so much, but the Targets and the Walmarts
right.
and the Dillards. There's still a need for those. But people are looking for the smaller boutique shops that they just shop differently. And bricks and mortar will always have a place. We believe that there's going to be a place for both the online and brick and mortar for perpetually. But it's going to continually change. And so what was designed back in the 70s and 80s may not necessarily fit what we have now. So one of the things we're doing is, well, how do we work with property owners and shop owners to deal with that ever-changing environment? And, you know, we're getting there.
Now, the same guy that helped design this part of Main Street mm-hmm. is working over there to come up with something. Is that correct?
I'm it's not the same. The same city staff's involved.
Okay.
You have a different consultant, but they're looking at what we did down here, and looking at what would work there and what could be done there that's unique for that part of town as well.
Right.
That yes, it's similar thought process.
Well, still people, because of the way Broken Arrow is laid out, people still drive by that every day.
Absolutely.
Traffic is still terrible.
So, I live down there.
Yeah.
And which. You know, I have a vested interest. I tell people, I said, you know, this isn't just me speaking as a city
yeah.
councilor. I live a mile from that area, and I've watched the change. And,
mm-hmm.
and some of it's good. You know, you have some things happening around the Warren and things, and some of it's been a challenge. And so, but I take it even a deeper thought because I live down there. I've invested in that part of town.
Yeah.
And so as long as I'm involved on the council, that's going to be an area we continue to focus and work to provide the infrastructure and everything else to make sure that we stay successful.
So let's move it back over here in this
oh, sure.
area again, and let's talk about the overlay.
Okay.
That was done recently.
Yeah, about middle of last year. Yeah.
You've got this thing called the overlay.
Yes.
It's a big nebulous thing. That
Downtown
it's,
Residential
it's,
Overlay
it's,
District.
It's a big blanket. That
yes.
comes, it's about a mile in a square mile or so. What does that actually do?
Well, as different developers and folks were coming in and taking another look at downtown,
yeah.
We've enjoyed success on Main Street, and that initially was the retail Rose District. You know,
yeah.
that's what was developing, but the original downtown envision. The way downtown was envisioned was the 2 square miles bordered by Kenosha or 71st
mm-hmm.
on the north and Washington or 91st on the south and Elm or 161st East Avenue on the west and
yep.
Lynn Lane or 9th Street on the east.
Okay. 2 square miles.
The Downtown Residential Overlay District is concerned primarily with the 1 square mile between 81st and Houston and Kenosha.
Okay.
71st. And basically, the thought process was, as people were coming in to develop, one, a lot of a lot of time was being spent by the city staff to prepare these planned urban developments or these zoning requests and all the different things that were being done. And they were coming in a little disjointed. So we thought, why not create an area, a residential overlay, where developers can know what's expected, that preserves the historical nature of this part of our town, because this was where Broken Arrow started, but at the same time allows for modernization and updating those areas that need to be updated. But we don't want identical structures, but we want a cohesiveness of the design plan. And this allows developers to know what to expect when they come to build in the Rose District, and protects the things that were good about the
so
Rose
you've
District.
Got a couple, right now you've got a couple of developers that are and builders that are in here, and they basically are building brand new housing.
Right.
And it looks, it has a retro look to it, I guess if you want to call it that. Is this, when they come in to show you what they want to do, do they have to adhere to that retro look, or are they, do you tell them they have to build a certain type of thing, or what?
Well, far be it from the government to tell you what you can and can't do with
your
property.
That has never happened.
No, it's never happened. But what we do, there are certain design standards.
Yeah.
No, we don't want every house to look the same. But we do like the idea of certain areas retaining the historical, what has historically been.
Right.
So you're going to, in certain parts of town where that it was developed with bungalows, you know, we're kind of encouraging those bungalows to go there,
okay,
because it's consistent with what was done.
Right.
That doesn't mean you can't update, that doesn't mean you can't have modernized looks or things, but it's a consistent nature of housing. Like we have a beautiful street, I believe it's Dallas, back behind City Hall, that's just two blocks of beautiful craftsman homes, and it's picturesque. It's like Main Street America, or the residential Main Street,
yes,
America. We are encouraging the developers, if you build new structures, make it consistent with that concept, because we want that. We don't want the every house to look the same, but we want it to be cohesive, if that makes sense.
Sure. So in the midst of all of that, how is that going? How much have you seen of that within the last couple of years?
We're seeing a lot of development, and that's good. We want people to look at this part of town as a place to come live. Or as we like to say, live, work, and play.
Mm-hmm.
I think, you know, as with anything, there's the balancing act of how do we preserve what's there and allow for the new. And some of the developers coming in are doing their best to restore and maintain the original structures. When it doesn't make sense from that the house is a structurally not salvageable, that they're coming back in and trying to replace it with something that is at least consistent with the neighborhood. There have probably been a few misfires along the way, but I think for the most part, they're the biggest challenge now is how big are the houses? Where does it fit in there? And we're always relooking at that. I mean, we just amended the downtown residential overlay district to accommodate some things that were not initially thought of. So the council and staff are constantly looking at how can we make it better, and how do we do that balancing act of maintaining the historical nature of the neighborhoods while allowing for new development.
So is there when you're talking about the houses that are in this area,
mm-hmm,
some of these houses have been here since the turn of the century, and then the 19th
century. Yeah, we've got 120-year-old homes.
Yeah, right. So you've got some houses that have an amazing history, but you have others that are just, their usefulness is gone.
Right.
Their lifespan's over. So they really need to come down. Is the city actively involved in those decisions, or how do you navigate that?
We do work with the historical museum.
Yep.
That if there's a property that has some historical significance, at minimum, we try to work with the developer and/or the owner who's going to do something with that home and the historical museum locally to try to document the property and preserve as much as we can of the property for historical purposes. Where we can, I mean, again, I have a hard time telling someone what they can and can't do with their property,
yep,
but we do encourage them, if possible, to salvage a property that has historical value. We encourage them to do so.
Is there anything, any instances where you've gone in, like for instance with the church, you basically
right,
had to go in and condemn that, and then did a I don't know that you went eminent domain with it, but you bought the property.
We purchased the property.
And then turned it around, and now it's going to be this $18 million investment downtown,
right,
which is awesome. So in the midst of all of that, are there times when you just have to go in and say, this is coming down, this is an eyesore, and it's also dangerous?
Of course, if something is structurally unsound and condemned, the city's involved with that because it's no longer, it's a public health hazard.
Right.
In other instances, it may just be a house that no longer is, as you said, it's just old, it's weary,
yep.
Kind of like some people I know. But the city does not actively tell someone, we're not actively looking for properties that need to be torn down.
Okay.
We're not actively looking for properties that need to be condemned. We are, in fact, on the contrary, we're hoping that as people buy them, if they are properties that can be preserved, that they would look at that first before they would look to tear something down that has historical significance. But the city is not actively buying properties and actively looking at properties and saying, oh, that needs to be torn down. The caveat to that is if it is a public health hazard, then of course we have ordinances and code enforcement that deals with that situation. But as far as, hey, developer, we want you to buy this over here and tear it down because we're tired of it, that's not something the city's actively doing.
So what's coming up? Anything that is interesting on the horizon?
Well, there's always we do have city council elections in 2 months on February 2nd, April 2nd. So that's always exciting, you mm-hmm. know, when the governing body can has an opportunity to be changed or retained. And
now you've got is it five councilmen? Is that
yes,
correct?
Yes, we have five councilors.
Do all five of them turn over at once?
No, the councilors from Broken Arrow serve for 4-year terms.
Okay,
and two are elected in 2 years ago we elected two, Ward 1 and 2, and then this year we'd be looking at electing Wards 3, 4, and the at-large councilor
okay.
position. And then, so in 2 years from now, it'd be Wards 1 and 2 again. So
now, the mayor.
Yes.
Of course, you were appointed as vice mayor by the councilman.
Sure.
So
was the mayor,
okay.
in fact.
All right, so he's appointed.
The mayor and vice mayor are elected
yeah.
from the council. The
okay.
council, and I don't know if you say five people, but five
yeah.
people elect the mayor and vice mayor. And the mayor is basically, he is a figurehead mm-hmm. and chairs the meetings and is responsible for in the meetings, sort of guiding the discussion. The mayor's vote counts the same as any one of the other four councilors. The mayor is often seen as the titular head because the mayor often is the one who speaks.
He's
on
the guy
of
that
council.
Has to stick his head up out of the foxhole.
That's one way of putting it.
Yeah.
And if the mayor can't, then that falls to the vice mayor. And in fact, I think our next meeting, our mayor's going to be out of town, so I'll be chairing that meeting. But basically, it's for the purposes of the meetings and things. We share that role or have that role. The city elects Broken Arrow. The entire city votes for each councilor. So what that means is even though, for example, I live in Ward 4 and Ward 4 is my ward, everyone in the city will vote for to retain me or not.
Okay.
And it works that way. So the at-large position is voted for the same way that the other four wards are voted for, except that they can live anywhere in the city. Since I'm the Ward 4 counselor, I have to live in Ward 4.
Okay.
But the whole city votes. And I think I like that because it allows us to represent the whole city and not just focus on our ward. Because the whole city votes for us, so I feel like I represent the whole city. Don't get me wrong, I'm a little partial to my ward.
Of course.
And one, because I live there, so I have that investment in that area. But at the same time, I feel like anyone in Ward 1, if they have an issue, I want them to feel like they can come to me as well as to the Ward 1 city councilor.
All right, so that happens in April?
April
2nd. And then you just get it out of the way and just keep on going.
That's...
Well, you got to admit, I mean, when you're looking at the national, I mean, they've already started 2020.
We are able to, what's unique about Oklahoma municipal elections and some municipalities like Broken Arrow, and I think Bixby Glenpool, a few of those. Basically, you sign up on the first full week of February, and the elections in the first full week of April. So you just have a 2-month campaign period. I think that's good.
That's awesome.
I think it's good because then it allows us, the counselors who win election, allows them to focus on governing for at least three years and 10 months, you know.
That's good. Well, Scott, I appreciate you taking the time to talk to me today.
It's always my pleasure. Thank you.
Scott Udy, Vice Mayor of Broken Arrow. Thanks again.
Thank you.
This is Oklahoma Perspective for Cox Media Group. I'm Bert Williams.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.